The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot in the United States.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned the title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring. You're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get some
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the NXT cast / SmackDown Matters, as I'm here with Miss Didi Jonet. Unfortunately, I had some unforeseen incidents, so me and Simi could not bring you the NXT cast dedicated alone show, so I'm going to lump it in with Miss Didi Jonet as we do a little NXT and SmackDown Matters combo show, and then next week everything will be back on schedule. But Miss Didi Jonet, how are you? How have you been since we last talked to you on Tuesday when we reviewed Rona Mania and Raw?
Okay, what has happened since Rona Mania? I was told that I only need to work 10 to 20 hours a week.
Oh, no.
No. They'll make up the rest.
Okay, awesome.
Which is funny, because I was trying to bullshit my way to 40 hours, and I was like, this is a struggle that I don't need to be a part of, because I ain't got it. So, I'm officially on, like, one day a week in office, and the rest is what it is.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that's really the only difference. I still haven't gone outside. I did get more alcohol delivered. Lonnie do it. Yes, he will. But I did my 6 feet, so I'm still safe.
Yeah, hopefully everybody out there who listens to the WrestleCast and now the NXT cast and SmackDown Matters is definitely safe and taking care of themselves, doing what they need to do, wearing their mask and keeping their distance, and staying away from people who are sick, and sick people staying away from people who are healthy.
Just stay away from everybody, because who knows?
This is a part of the WrestleCast, and the WrestleCast can be found on CSPN.us. You can also subscribe to the WrestleCast-the-CSPN through iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, all those good deals, and you will get all of these fine programs that we put out each and every week. Also, head over to patreon.com/CSPN Media. Check out the Dark Match and also the new show that we have there, The Push. Hill Heat is going to have a bunch of crossover podcasts where they talk about current events, current news, and wrestling with a bunch of different guests from the different black wrestling podcasts that we follow and follow them. So definitely check it out. They talk about the coronavirus and its effect on wrestling in general with the O-Face Wrestling Podcast. So that's a very cool episode. And on that note, we do have some news. As Vince McMahon said, next week, starting with SmackDown, they going live again, y'all. So Vince is like, no more of this tape bullshit. We done doing that. We're going back live. So we'll have live events from empty arenas going forward starting next week in WWE. I think that only goes for Raw and SmackDown. I think they taped a whole bunch of NXT. So I think NXT has a few episodes in the can. But like this SmackDown was live this Friday.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was. Oh. Yeah, they hadn't previously taped it, so it was live. But before we get into SmackDown, we're going to talk about NXT. As we started off hot, number one contenders ladder match, women's division. As we had Io Shirai, Mia Yim, Dakota Kai, Tegan Nox, Candice LeRae, and Chelsea Green all vying at a chance to face the new NXT Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair.
Mia Yim looking for the... Oh, and that'll put the point in the exclamation point. Arm ringer by Yim, and there's soul food. I'm sure it didn't taste very good for Candice LeRae. Head batty in charge. Oh, she gets nailed with a chair from Green.
It's all legal here, Chelsea.
As Robert Stone says, it is all legal here. No disqualification, no count out. As me again just smashed that chair across the knee of Chelsea Green. And now Io Shirai catapulting Mia, yeah, face first into the ladder.
He's out!
Oh, here comes Raquel Gonzalez. Raquel Gonzalez. And just been on the fly by Io Shirai, wiping out the majority of the field. The brute strength of Gonzalez. Picking up Mia Yim. Yim valiantly trying to fight back on Gonzalez, who's not even involved in this matchup. Yim looking to powerbomb Gonzalez through the table. And Tegan Nox, who of course lost the first ever street fight in NXT Women's Division history at TakeOver Portland. She's looking to send Gonzalez through the table, mamma mia! As Dakota Kai, with more kicks than the Rockettes, she just rocked Tegan Nox. LeRae reaching out, Shirai nails her with a right hand, a right hand from LeRae on Shirai.
Chelsea, just go, you're still good.
Battling for the opportunity to secure the briefcase. Both LeRae and Shirai have come close to becoming NXT Women's Champion in the past. They tore the house down in their takeover matchup last year. Oh, Shirai raking the eyes of LeRae and just sending LeRae back first onto the ladder. The ladder that has been, well, made as a bridge between the ropes. And that has jacked the back of LeRae. Io Shirai now about to unhook the briefcase. Io Shirai's the number one contender.
Here is your winner and the number one contender to the NXT Women's Championship.
It feels correct.
This was awesome. This was really fun. This was really good. This was a really good ladder match. All the ladies got different chances to shine. They all took some huge bumps to all get laid out to leave Io and Candice LeRae as the final two, which it should have been. And the correct person won. So now we have our dream matchup, Io Shirai versus Charlotte Flair. Hopefully they can hold this off until like SummerSlam or something where we got people around so they can see it, because this definitely deserves to be in front of a big crowd. It was funny. Dakota Kai had beef with like half the people in this match from War Games. Mia Yim, Tegan Nox, and Candice LeRae. And then there's this one spot where they all like surround her and start putting the beats to her. We look back on Finn Balor being challenged by Imperium, then his trip to NXT UK to challenge Walter, and then we get a promo for Finn Balor. Balor tells Walter that they may share a lot of traits. They both have creative control over their worlds, but here we are. Both are unable to make our next respective moves. The title you hold is on borrowed time. Then we get highlights of Rinku and Savar's debuts last week, where they beat up Matt Riddle. Then they have a match versus Chase Parker and Matt Martel. Rinku beats down Parker, takes out Martel, and then the demolition finishing move, which is basically they lay one guy across their knee and the other guy comes off the ropes with a leg drop, and they get the win. We see Adam Cole, baby, in his pool, lounging. He's cutting the promo on the Velveteen Dream, calling him lucky for beating Bobby Fish. He says lightning will not strike twice. Dream doesn't deserve a shot at his title, and he says that the Velveteen Dream is just a pretender. Very disrespectful. We revisit Charlotte defeating Rhea Ripley for the NXT Women's title. And then because Corona and our Cruiserweight champion being an Englishman who can't travel and get into the country, we're going to have a tournament to crown an interim Cruiserweight champion. And that's going to begin next week. So now it's time for our main event segment. Johnny Gargano, Triple H, and Tommaso Ciampa, they arrive to the secret location. So we see Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae pulling up. And Candice LeRae gives Johnny, appears to be like a bag lunch, something in a paper bag as he gets out of the car. So we have this long-ass match. This was basically the whole second hour of NXT. This match went 48 minutes, about 20 too long. And yeah, they just had a big ass fight in an empty Full Sail, basically. And they started in the ring and just went through all types of shit in the building, out the building, back inside the building. So we finally get down to the last few minutes. The camouflage crutch that Ciampa used for so long was introduced into the match. So both men have beaten each other with this crutch. So they each have a piece of it. So they hit each other with their respective pieces of the crutch. Both men are down. That's when Candice LeRae arrives. She comes in, kicks the door in. It's like, what are you guys doing? Stop it. Stop it. You're best friends. Oh my gosh. You know, this is just awful. You guys need to put into this. She's like, you know, I've ended up hating my husband for what he's become. And she kicks Johnny Gargano low and she tells Tommaso Ciampa to finish it. Well, Tommaso Ciampa has had a moment of clarity after Candice LeRae comes in and he can't finish it. He's apologizing to Johnny, telling him he's sorry. And, you know, he's helping him up. And, you know, they're trying to, you know, he's just being like, man, I can't believe you've taken it this far. But it's a trap because Candice LeRae, she returns and she hits Ciampa with a low blow. Then Johnny Gargano, while he's down, reaches into his tights and reveals that he had a cup on the whole time. So that leads to Johnny Gargano hitting Tommaso Ciampa with his own finisher, the fairy tale ending on the exposed boards of the ring, which Ciampa had pulled back. And Johnny Gargano is the winner of the final match between these two in NXT.
You mean Candice LeRae is the winner? Yes.
It was too long. It was shot in the kind of cinematic style like the Boneyard match was. Mm-hmm. But what made that really good was it was just kind of like a fight scene of like 20 minutes and it was over. This was 48 minutes of them just, and it's no commentary, so it didn't have anything to kind of break it up. It's just them talking trash to each other and grunting and, you know, fighting. It just, I don't know. I would have preferred them do an empty arena Hell in a Cell match. That would have been dope. Because, you know, he could have been like, hey, y'all been fighting. Y'all been going through the arenas and tearing up all this shit. Nah, we need to have y'all in a position where y'all can't go nowhere. And y'all need to settle it inside or around, or, you know, near the ring, not diving off of the podiums and crashing through tables and all that crazy shit they've been doing. That's what I really would have hoped. The first Hell in a Cell match in NXT. Ms. DeJanae, your thoughts? Because you watched this.
It was too long. It had its moments when it was very interesting, but it's hard to be interesting for 40 minutes. And on a personal note, I don't like matches where people who don't matter to me are thrust into, like, the decider spot. Like, I don't understand why Candice LeRae was even allowed in the building. Like, I don't understand why she was allowed to run in and be like, no, why are you fighting? Like, I don't get the point of that. I don't get the point. I mean, from a storytelling point, I get the idea that, oh, you're making me hate my husband. I don't understand why Ciampa would believe her. Like,
because they're just family.
No. And I'll tell you why. Because that's her husband. So if both of y'all are pissing me off and both of y'all are doing the most, I'm kicking both of you at the same time. That's what makes sense. So both of y'all can fight it out with your hurt little balls together on the ground. You have at it. That's real. You, me watching you, my ex-best friend and wife, and the wife kicks him in the balls, and I don't think, this sounds like a setup. Really? Really? The villain doesn't see anything weird about this? He's just like, oh, what have I done? I've ruined a relationship. Fuck out of here. Get out of my face. No, I don't believe you. You need more people. So again, I don't like it when my logic doesn't match up with other people's logic. Because my logic says, kick both them motherfuckers and let them work it out however it works out. My logic doesn't say, yeah, put on a cup and then I'm going to kick you. You know, like that's not... But, you know, I don't mind heel tactics. So, you know, go ahead, evil grin when it works. I'm not mad at that part. I would have played it a little differently. That's all.
Right. I don't think a lot of people really like this match a lot. I haven't heard a lot of really good positive reviews. A lot of people are really putting it in the same box as Randy Orton and Edge. That is just too long. Like, you know. In about 20 minutes, people and then they had like all these commercials, so they was breaking it up with the commercials, so that didn't help it either. So at about 20 minutes, when it comes to a wrestling match, people kind of start to lose their attention unless you can have something happen if you're going to go really long that can kind of kick it up into like another level, and then people can be like, you know, geared up for the second half of the match, but they failed to do this here. So after the match, Johnny leaves with Candice, and she asks if he's good, and he says that he is better than good. They leave the building, and as they're leaving in their car, we see Killer Cross and Scarlett Bordeaux in another car near Candice and Johnny's car as they pull away. So, Killer Cross is, I think he's going after Ciampa. He interrupted the big segment when they had the face-to-face when Triple H first announced the match. Remember at the very end, his little vignette thing came up. Now he's sitting outside the supposedly undisclosed location where this match takes place. So I think what we're going to see is a scene where Killer Cross walks in there in that in Full Sail with a beating down Tommaso Ciampa, and you know, we kick off something from there. So yeah, this was basically takeover on USA edition of NXT, and they were about 50%. That women's ladder match was awesome, but their actual main event left a lot to be desired, for sure. So Miss Didi Jonet at this time. Oh, you know what? I have to do some housekeeping because I took these notes, but I did not send them to you.
No, you didn't. No,
so you can give the people what they want here on the WrestleCast, which is your review of SmackDown Matters. So as we check your Twitter account in about 10 seconds.
All right.
And it shall be there. Yes, people, live podcasting on the fly here.
I mean, we're run about as smooth as your government, so what is the problem?
So there you go. Should be popping up in your lovely DM.
I got a DM from somebody who wasn't you. You know what they said? Good morning.
That's it?
Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Like,
they didn't say, like, I've been admiring you from across the Twitterverse.
Beautiful, how are you? Like, I'll give you money for a picture of your feet. It wasn't anything that mattered. I was like, Get out. You're so boring. I didn't even reply.
Like, didn't even do a...
And plus, also, he was from Nigeria.
Oh, I was about to say you didn't do a profile click, at least.
First of all, although Baby Girl Lisa is my idol nowadays, I don't want a man from Nigeria. So sorry to tell you. I'm not interested in no green card shenanigans. Okay, yes. Smacky Downey. Strowman, the new Universal Champion, arrives. He says that opportunity knocked at Ronamania. He took everything Goldberg had, which isn't much because 60, and put him down for good. Nakamura arrives, and Nakamura says he wants an opportunity. The last time they were in the ring, Strowman lost. Strowman says Nakamura will get these hands later tonight. Cesaro arrives. Nakamura attacks, and then they leave. Next is a tag team match. Bliss and Cross versus the Kabuki Warriors. Nikki takes out Asuka, tags in Bliss. The DDT gets two as Asuka makes the save. Asuka takes out Nikki, twisted Bliss to the floor follows. Back in the ring, there's a missed twisted Bliss, but there's a tag to Nikki, and the Purge finishes it. I guess that means that Nikki and them won.
Yep, Nikki and Alexa, they got the win, defending their titles.
She covered
Kari
Sane. Kari, yeah. I knew they weren't going to let Asuka do
it. Man, Asuka does this hit tat to Alexa Bliss on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets on the, she does her dance, and then mm-hmm. she gets on the, grabs the headsets and does commentary for like 20 seconds. Yeah.
Iconic.
You know it.
What I love about, well, I already told you, I think Nakamura is lying about the fact that he don't speak English. But what
he was speaking English in this promo.
What? See, I don't really pay attention to that. I knew he knew English, but you remember that good 6 months where he was like, I don't know.
Yeah, when he was, and Renee Young was so fucking pissed at him because she had to interview him every week.
He's like, I don't speak English. And I was like, yes, you do. But I wouldn't want to speak that shit either. I love it. Because ain't nothing like knowing that you know and I know that you know. But you said you don't know. And it's like... Yes, you do. It's like, no, I don't. So, like, and your eyes just glaze over, like, mm.
Yeah, Renee Young definitely was having that situation with him.
Because you know I enjoy petty people, so that's always fun for me. Now's as good a time as any. Have you seen the Don't Rush challenge?
I have. Various ones.
It's the cute TikTok challenge. We've got multiple versions this week. Probably after WrestleMania, there was the women's version, which started with Sasha Banks and included all your faves and some people we don't fuck with, but that's fine. And then either yesterday or the day before, there was the male version, started off by who? The icon, Ron Killings.
Yes.
Included
Otis.
Braun Strowman, Otis. First of all, Otis went from wearing no clothes to even less clothes, and I was like, you love to see it. You love to see it, because Otis be naked, and I'm like, I'm not mad. But it included Nakamura, and there was, like, a good conversation, because he went from, like, cooking in the kitchen to be, you know, Nakamura with his little onesie on and the chesticles out, and somebody was like, what is he cooking? And I was like, I don't know, but he had better have gone back and finished that meal. That much I know. But yeah, if you're interested in WWE and fun things, that was like a really cute thing. Only takes about maybe two and a half minutes of your time, because small.
What about the grouping that you sent me on Twitter about the houses, the grouping, like which house of WWE?
Oh, that's another meme. That's another meme that's been going around. So there have been all sorts of versions. This one is the WWE version created by WWE. And I just thought it was interesting, because the way that they do them is always like some people you really want to be with mixed with some people that you're like, eh. So it's like no matter who you are, there's kind of like a, nah, not that person. So you really kind of have to like pick your poison, if you will. And I just thought it was so interesting that house number 5 is clearly the house of Samoa. The only one who ain't Samoan is married to a Samoan. Like, they are the only house in one accord. They're the only house really related to each other. And then house 4 got fucking Binky, which who don't want to be with Binky? Street Profits, who don't want to be with Street Profits? And then fucking Randy Orton. And I said, I see how it is. I see how it is. And I was like, that's disrespectful. Because I would have said house 4, because of course I want to be with them.
Yeah, let me
but
see.
I'm never picking Orton, not ever.
I don't know if John Cena wasn't in House 6. House 6 seems kind of cool. Drew McIntyre, Undisputed Era, Bayley, Sasha Banks.
But John Cena. I don't want to be with John Cena.
Number 3 might be kind of cool.
Number 3 is lit. I don't want to be with
Sammy,
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles is in there. I missed him.
House 2 ain't bad either, honestly.
House 2 might actually be the one.
Don't you love how they said Edge, but not Beth Phoenix? What a blessing. I love that. Love it. But honestly, if they took out Rhea and added in Christian, House 2 would be the house.
Not seeing it for Young Australia?
Actually, I don't mind Rhea. They could actually take out Keith Lee, and if they gave me Christian, I'd be okay.
Yeah, you have a soft spot in your heart for Captain Charisma, don't you?
I love Christian. Like, those are like the first two. Because I think I came into wrestling like caring about wrestling, like right when the Brood hit. So it was not, ooh, just Edge. It was Edge and Christian. And then watching them like stop being vampires and then just be badasses, lit. So yeah, I'll always love Edge and Christian.
Right.
As a collective. Definitely not House 1. Very rude to not include Charlotte's little boo thing in House 1, though. I'm not mad. I'm just saying. But yeah, if you want to see the quarantine houses, I retweeted it. It's on the interwebs. Just go on the Twitters and find it. But yeah, fun stuff. Much more fun than what happened on SmackDown. Elias was there, though, and that matters. He talks about his Mania win over Corbin. He sings with a clap track about his feud and win over Corbin, teasing a Money in the Bank win. In case you forgot, Corbin won Money in the Bank and then promptly lost.
Yeah.
With his Money in the Bank briefcase, which never happens. At least not the way he lost. It was amazing. Fucking loser. Dolph and Sonya ran about the doctored footage. They called it fake news. As Tucker arrives and shares pics of Mandy and Otis together, they're working out. Otis is holding bananas. It works for them. But Tucker wants to beat that ass. So he has a match with Ziggles. Tucker hits a lariat and a high cross gets 2, but Dolph posts him and then the super kick finishes it. And Big Tuck Tuck loses. Sorry. But apparently Big Tuck Tuck was a wrestler in college as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Ziggles. That's a big boy, Tuck Tuck. He cute. He real born, but he cute. He seemed like the type who would be a good stay-at-home dad. Go fishing with the kids and shit. You know what he reminds me of?
Who?
Like when your friends come over your house.
Okay.
And you'd be like, where your husband at? And you'd be like, oh, no, he's somewhere. And he, like, he's in the house, but nobody sees him ever. Great. Be like, is he in the basement? He in the man cave? I guess, girl. I don't know. His car's in the front. He's somewhere. Love that.
Uh-oh. I have breaking news here.
Ooh, what?
37 minutes ago, for Pro Wrestling Sheet.
Mm-hmm.
WWE has confirmed an on-screen talent in the company who is not a member of the roster tested positive for the Rona.
Wait, a who?
On-screen talent, so an announcer or interviewer.
Who's not a wrestler.
Yeah. So it could be Byron. It could be Corey.
It's Corey or that asshole. Is it Sam? I bet it's Sam.
Sam Roberts.
I bet it's Sam. What if it's Sam? Okay. It shouldn't be Renee because Renee's been gone.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's Corey or Michael.
Maybe Byron.
It could be right. It could be Charlie. She's been around people.
Yeah.
I feel like it's Corey though.
Okay.
Corey don't make good choices. I feel like it's Corey. All right. However, they show us highlights of the SmackDown Tag Team Title Ladder Match that was only defended by one person per each team. Very different, but you know, it's what we do at Rona Mania. But now it's time for the dirt sheet hosted by the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, Miz and Morrison. Then make sure to mention that he retained the tag titles by himself, while Miz says he retained them from his couch. Come on, Miz. They show footage of the Boneyard match as Morrison jokes about not wanting to be buried. Better AJ than them. Get it? Because buried. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They also joke about Braun being a champion that actually shows up, which rare. Cena finally not being able to be seen. What a shocker. And sing their wacky song. The Usos arrive and interrupt. They have different haircuts now, so now nobody can get them mistaken. But I still don't know which is which. They mock the champions. Miz is offended, and Morrison doesn't appreciate their attitude. The Usos say they want a title shot. Miz says, "Sorry, Charlie, I'm not medically cleared." The Usos claim Morrison carried the team as New Day arrives. They want a shot since the original Mania match didn't happen. And next week, it'll be Jay versus The Miz versus Big E with the title team title matches on the line. So basically, the other three that didn't do it at the Mania.
Was so funny about this was Kofi came out, right? And he was the one doing the talking. This last part that you just recapped about the who's going to be in the match. Mm-hmm. And he does the Teddy Long. After he gets, he's like, "It's going to be a triple threat for the tag team titles, player." And then he starts doing the Teddy Long dance with the... dying laughing. Like, Kofi Kingston is hilarious.
He is a funny man. I don't want his hair to be blonde anymore.
I don't know. If you see it up close, it looks cool. It looks like Fruity Pebbles. But you gotta see it up close though. If you look at it from the distance. Is it
colored in there?
Yeah, if you look at it from a distance, it just looks like it's kind of like a frosty white.
Yeah.
But if you when he was in WrestleMania and they was up close on it, it's got like pink and blue and all that other shit in it too.
Oh. Well, that doesn't sound bad. The Forgotten Sons have been called up to SmackDown. I don't know who they are.
They're NXT guys.
No, I know that, but I don't know who they are.
Yeah, they're the Forgotten Sons. Nobody does.
Because get it? Forgotten. However, they have made it sound like the Forgotten Sons were like the dominant face in the WWE, which is not necessarily the case, but that's okay. We love a good rewrite of history, you know, I guess. They have a match with Lucha House Party. Metalik tags in. He does Lucha things. He's very good at it. So, of course, he's about to lose. Blake cuts him off, and the double stomp slash inverted DDT finishes it. And the Forgotten Sons have their first win on the main roster.
Yeah, Vince made them all cut their hair.
They had hair?
They had much longer hair. They were like a biker gang, but they all got like a third of their hair cut off.
Why?
Vince.
Well, maybe they had like split ends. But there's nothing wrong with long hair. We like long hair and beards up in the... On the WrestleCast Creepcast section of life. Dana and Carmella challenge Nikki and Bliss for the tag titles backstage. Basically, Bliss and Nikki were talking shit like, "We beat everybody, we have shit." So Carmella and Dana were like, "Well, if you've beaten everybody, beat us." And Nikki cross drinks a lot of caffeine, so she's like, "Of course we can."
Dana Brooke, don't do anything else to your face, please.
So she didn't have the Rona. She got more injectables.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Not good. Not that she even needed it to begin with. But
that's the thing with injectables. It's almost like once you start, your mind gets confused and you feel like you need to do more. Even if you think back non-wrestling wise, when you think back to little Kylie Jenner, when she first started doing that shit to her lips and she was like, no. I'm just overlining, and everybody black was like, no, my eyes work just fine. Mm-hmm. What she first started doing was fine. She give her a year, year and a half, and then all of a sudden she looks like those wax lips that people put in. And it's the same thing with even, what's the girl's name, Charlotte and Dana. It's like, there's nothing wrong with tweaking. If you have the money and the access and the availability, I know from when I used to make videos, if you look at yourself in a camera long enough, you will see a whole bunch of shit you don't like. You will realize just how asymmetrical your face is. You'll be like, that eyebrow really don't look like that other one. My eye is like a whole centimeter shorter than the other one. And you start looking and nitpicking. I get it. But at some point, you have to take a step back and look at the bigger picture and make a tweak. But don't make the tweak you think you need to make. Because once you do too much, you can't pull it back.
This is true.
And it's like, again, I have no problem with tweakages. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you don't stay gorgeous with no help. You think Angela Bassett is just going off of like some Pond's cream and like Vaseline? No, she gets help, but she got the bigger picture. So she looks 35 at 60.
You're right.
You got to keep the big picture. So yeah, you're right. Dana needs to not.
Did you
Dana needs to not.
Check your Twitter account and see what I just sent you.
What's on my Twitter? Yeah, I sent that to Jade earlier. She's such a bad bitch. First of all, if your fave is not Bianca Belair, it had better be Naomi. And if it ain't Naomi or Bianca, you're wrong. And that's just that on that. Okay, so like I said, Nikki accepted the match and Alexa told her to stop drinking coffee. Sasha Banks arrives and Bailey joins her. I did not know that Bailey's music sounded like that anymore.
You like it? You don't like it?
I don't mind it, but I like Sasha's because Sasha is like the basis of her original music and then turned into No Bitch, I Am a Heel.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey's music really has no reference to her at all. So it's kind of like, oh, that's her music? And maybe that's just me not paying attention because it's probably been like that for months at this point. But I just really didn't realize that that was her music.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just want something that... like, even when Edge's music changed, and for the longest time they kept that You Think You Know Me,
mm-hmm.
like, I like a callback to the other eras just to connect, just like a through line.
Right.
To keep you... on there. Yeah, even Naomi's with the I'm Amazing. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that's just what I like in my music. But whatever, it's not a big deal. It's not bad music. You know whose music I don't like?
Who?
Anymore? I don't like Paige's because I didn't realize how Paige's music and Kevin Owens is like exactly the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. If you listen to them back and back, it's like it is the same thing.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's like, once I realized that they were the same, it was just like, oh no.
Mm, awesome.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, just take a moment some other time and listen to them.
And yeah, you'd be like, I have to do that back to back one day and see what's up.
They are the exact same. Okay, so where are we? Okay, Bailey talks about Paige trying to ruin their friendship at Mania, but failing. Bailey says that no one can touch her because she has beaten everyone. They are the best. The ultimate role models, and Banks says, screw you to the sheet, but she says it while looking at Bailey. So it's kind of weird. Nobody from the past, present, or future can touch them. Tamina arrives. They immediately back off and kiss her ass. Bailey congratulates her on her Mania performance, and Tamina tells them, quit all that ass kissing. Bailey did not beat her. It took all of you hoes to gang up to beat me. And so I want a title shot because you clearly can't hack it by yourself. Banks makes a coconut joke.
Yeah, that was like, damn, Sasha, that's fucked up.
I was like, I got a coconut. She was like, well, I don't know when you came from whatever coconut you were hiding under. And it's like, not a coconut, girl.
Right, damn, that's fucked up.
That's real rude.
Especially with, like, this week on... Dark Side of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be about her daddy, and
that's what's so funny. When I was thinking about them like being shady to me, I was like, well, you know, they kill people. Allegedly. But that's what I was thinking of. I was like, she is not who I would play with. No. But so about the coconuts. It says that Tamina can't jump the line. As Bailey holds her back. You know how they do.
Right.
Bailey says Tamina can have a match with her. However, after she beat Sasha. And Sasha kind of has this stuck look on her face like, wait, I didn't agree to this. And so Tamina's like, cool. You know your best friend screws you, right? I was like, oops.
Yeah, they really are, you know, setting up the little pieces brick by brick of this eventually Sasha and Bayley match.
It's going to be fun. It's just so unrealistic because it's like, I've always had your back. It's like, girl, y'all just was fighting 8 months ago. Like, y'all just started being back cool again. Like, this was like 3 years where y'all didn't fuck with each other. You thought I forgot? I didn't. I recall. But again, I will go through the lie with you. Soap opera. Things change. Sheamus has a match with a gentleman I've never heard of called Cal Bloom. Sheamus beats that ass. There's a bro kick and a finish, and that was that. There's a part one retrospective on Jeff Hardy in order to hype his return, which makes sure to eliminate every mention of Matt Hardy by name. Very interesting. Just like, we, us, yes, the boys. That other one, don't know him. It was just Jeff and another Jeff. Yes. next week, there will be that tag team title triple threat match. Not triple threat, but, you know, three on three, or however you say
it. Yeah, triple threat. You're right.
Oh, it is triple threat. Yay, look at me. There's Banks versus Tamina. There's Daniel Bryan versus Cesaro. And there's a Naomi versus Dana in a Money in the Bank qualifier. It would stand to reason that Dana would lose since Dana's trying to fight for the tag team titles, but who knows?
I don't trust them,
so we shall see. Braun Strowman and Shinsuke for the main event.
Come on, hang it up, Cesaro.
And now Braun going for the running power slam. Nakamura from behind. Oh, and he caught him with the kick. And now Cesaro with an uppercut from behind. And Nakamura with a knee to the face. Nakamura may pin the champion. Hooks the legs of Strowman, who powers out in two.
No!
Isn't going to do Nakamura any favors. Cesaro up on the apron again, and he pays for it with a big right hand. And then Nakamura trying to sneak in from behind. Kick to Strowman, drives it back into the ropes. Braun with a clothesline, turns Nakamura inside out. Look at the intensity in the eyes of the Universal Champion. The demeanor is completely changed by Strowman. I'm beginning to think that JBL's prediction might ring true. Who's going to stop Braun Strowman? Certainly not the Strowman Express. Great training right through Nakamura.
Inside.
And now Cesaro in Strowman's path, driven over the barricade. So hard to slow this monster down. Nakamura, though, may slow him down there. That may be it. Nakamura cover for the win on the champion, and Strowman at 2.5.
And once again, I think a momentary hesitation by Strowman might have mitigated the impact of the Kinshasa knee strike, but Nakamura lands this. It's over.
He's not going to land it, though, because there's the power of Strowman. Running power slam to Nakamura. Cover now on the outside leg, and Strowman with the victory.
Here is your winner, the Universal Champion, Braun Strowman.
You would think it'd be over, but it's not, because Bray joins us from the Funhouse to relive his Mania win. And then he said, we really can't see you. Sometimes the easy jokes are the best. He congratulates Braun, has some flashbacks, and says Braun turned his back on him and the family. And he says that the puppets don't want Bray to forgive him, except Ramblin' Rabbit, who thinks Braun is a good guy. But Bray says what he wants is an apology. Braun said he don't give a shit. And Bray wants a title shot. He says he brought Braun into this world and will take him out of it. I don't know how you don't know that that man is black. Like, like,
you're talking about Bray Wyatt here, right?
Yes, that is Black Mama 101. I brought you in this road, I will take you out. You mean to tell me he ain't got nan Black Grandmama? It's right there in front of your face. Like,
as the Twitter world found out yesterday, that would be Big Mama. Because, you know, they was all upset over that person being like, y'all need to get healthy.
Talk about stay home, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do drugs. And if you want to do it for yourself, do it for Big Mama. And I wanted to say so bad, well, my Big Mama been dead, so now what? Like, what you mean? Like, all my grandparents gone, so now can I drink? Like, what? And had they been alive, they in a whole nother time zone, so now can I drink? Like, what? One would have been in Texas and one would have been in Illinois. Now can I drink? I am on the East Coast. What are we talking about right now? They're so annoying.
Yes. Yes, they are.
And it's like, I get it. White people do more, but they also have better health care, so they're not dying. But like, if I want to drink, I'm a drink. Well, don't tell me my vodka use has anything to do with this. It doesn't. If anything, is burning off the germs. I'm sure it's not, but I'm sure it didn't make it worse.
It's the hangman page theory.
Listen, he said whiskey solves everything, and I don't know why I wouldn't believe him. I think he's correct.
It's more alcohol content, therefore meaning more germs killed.
I mean, if you're telling me to use hand sanitizer and hand sanitizer is mostly alcohol, then why can't I just drink alcohol?
Right.
The logic is there. I see it. So anyway, back to Young Bray. He says he will take Braun out because he brought him into this world. Braun says, well, he can be let in. Let him in at any time. So basically, Braun said, I ain't never scared.
Yeah. So, looks like we're going to have Braun Strowman and Bray for the first program of this Braun Strowman title reign. Some good history. They had some flashbacks to the Wyatt family when Braun first came up. When he was in
there. I remember he came in big as shit, silent as hell, scary as fuck.
Yeah. And so, and then Braun's facial reactions when Bray was doing the flashbacks and stuff was really good. So yeah, this looks like it might have a lot of fun, a lot of legs to it. Once they get going, and but it's like, do you even want to have Bray wrestle in regular matches now after watching Firefly Funhouse? Can he just wrestle every match like that, or are they actually going to get in there and have like a real match?
So. I don't know how I feel. Like, do I want a real match, or do I want some creepy shit?
Yeah, right.
Or does he need to be on the Finn Balor protocol, which is only quarterly? Do we get the creepy shit? Like, you know.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see how that goes going forward. SmackDown needs somebody. They don't. I mean, Bray's okay, but they need some. I guess it would be Roman, but since he's sick. They're just missing somebody. They need like one more big name. And even, and I guess it's because Roman hasn't been that active in the past month. I guess that's the person I'm missing. To kind of get you invested and have like a big time program. So. But yeah, that was SmackDown. It was an okay show. I mean, for what it was, they put it together at the last minute because they had to get everybody back. They let them go home for after they take WrestleMania, so they had to bring everybody back. And this is the crew that we got. It's good to see Dana Brooke out of quarantine because she had been in quarantine for the past 2 weeks. So it was good to see her back. Carmella was there, so it looks like a few more people are starting to kind of be available. For them to use for these, I would say tapings, but starting Monday, live events again. So we'll see what goes forward from there. Anything interesting that you noticed about this show? Or was it just a blah show for you?
I mean, I was very intrigued in the way that Otis was like squatting with the banana bunch. Okay. Yeah. I was like, because in my head, I was like, why do you have a bunch of bananas? Like, I'm a logical person. It's just like, do you just like bananas? Like, are you gonna make banana bread when we're done? Like, why?
You have really turned the corner on Otis here in the last like couple of months. This thing with Mandy has really shined a light on him for you.
Well, you know, she stopped being. Whoa. Okay, and news that really does not matter. You know how your cabinet doors have like handles on them,
right? Knobs.
So yeah, I don't have knobs. I have like a legit handle.
Okay.
And so just now, and I've been here for 5 years. I'm looking over at the cabinet doors above my microwave. They're definitely not even. I'm like, how did it take me 5 years to notice this? They're a good like half inch different. Like, the fuck? Nobody measures? Anyway, yeah, no. Listen, Mandy stopped being problematic. And she, as far as I knew, she was just cute and blonde and out of the way, you know, not dealing with married men, unlike some people, you know, just there, not being offensive, not being annoying, just there. And that's cool. And she gave a fat man a chance, and the fat man was like a ginger and he had a beard. And it's like, well, those are two things I love a lot. And then like, you know, we're team body confidence, and Otis is like, I'm going to wear my booty shorts and my crop top. And you're not going to have anything to say. And nobody does. And so it just really kind of endeared me to him. Yeah, I like Otis. I ain't got a crush on Otis or nothing, but I like Otis.
Yeah, yeah. I can definitely tell he's become one of your faves. You like to see him wrestle and come on the screen.
Yeah, I do. I enjoy
him. It's not a Baron Corbin situation with him.
No, 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 no. But then again, I don't think I've ever just, well, no. What's the one guy?
Oh, Ryback.
Yeah, hated him.
Yeah.
Hated him.
No love at all.
No, no, not never. Not a bit, not a hint. And I don't even know what he did, but oof, couldn't stand him. but really, it's just been him, Corbin, and Orton. Those are like bottom three. I give everybody else a chance. I don't mind people.
This is true.
I love people, especially if you look like Elias.
Oh, gosh. Which is to say, a.k.a. Mini Macho Man.
Listen, I have a type. It was ingrained when I was young. It's not my fault. That's Saturday morning wrestling. I never had a chance.
So at this point, Miss Didi Jonet, we've come to the end of our show. It's time for you to give your shout outs and thank yous for the first ever edition of the SmackDown Matters podcast.
Yeah. So shout out to me, because yes, shout out to you, because duh. Shout out to Jade, Tati, Sam, Greg, the baby. Not the baby, but Greg's baby. Shout out to XJ Trilla. She was supposed to be here, but because of reasons, she's not. So that's fine. We probably saved you a lot of digression from things you all don't care about. So you're welcome. Shout out to Classic. And shout out to all y'all. Stay safe, stay inside, get some face masks. If you need some, I gotta connect. Reach out on the Twitters.
Yeah. All right. I'd like to give a shout out to Miss Didi Jonet for joining me here and indulging me in a little NXT talk as well as SmackDown Matters. Give a shout out to Mo to the underscore Reese, who joined me and Miss Didi on Tuesday as we reviewed Rona Mania and Monday Night Raw. I'll give a shout out to Sam and Greg. Give a shout out to Miss Simi. Give a shout out to Anwar Starwin. Give a shout out to the guys over at the Hill Heat podcast doing what they do. Like I said, check their new venture out. It's free right now on all of our main feeds. It's called The Push, but it will be a Patreon exclusive show going forward. Shout out to everybody who joined us for the Raw cast and SmackDown Matters and NXT cast and Dynamite cast this week. And like Ms. Didi Jonet said, just stay safe, take your proper precautions to get through this, and hopefully by the summer, like June 20th, we'll be able to do a few more things and not be so cramped up in our houses and things like that, but be able to at least venture out and have more than like 10 people at a time gather and do some things. Because this dude at work, his birthday was yesterday, and I was like, what you gonna do? Invite like 8 people over so you can be underneath the be underneath the law, because we can't have more than 10 people gather at a
oh, that's right,
at a time right now. So, but again, stay safe, continue to listen to the CSPN, listen to the Now, the Rawcast, the WrestleCast, NXT Cast, the SmackDown Matters, and also the Dark Match over on the Patreon shows. We will be continue giving you content each and every week as long as they keep producing these new wrestling shows. And it looks like they're not going to stop AEW. Looks like they have a workaround in Georgia. And WWE is going back live this week on Monday. So we'll be here to cover it. And Ms. Dee Dee Jonet, I appreciate you very much. And so for my co-host, Ms. Dee Dee Jonet, I'm Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 1 of the NXT Cast of SmackDown Matters. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
3 weeks ago, we were standing in this very ring when that annoying, jealous Paige tried to ruin my WrestleMania and tried to ruin our friendship by putting me in a 5-way elimination match. But she didn't. No, she didn't. So anyone that thinks they can touch me, well, ding dong. Hello? You can't! Because I've beaten everyone! But I do have to say, in my humble opinion, I think that my greatest moment yet was when I defied all odds at WrestleMania. And how did I do that? How did I do that, Michael? I don't know. Because I am the best. We're the best. We are the ultimate role models. So to all you sheep sitting at home that thought that I was gonna lose my championship at WrestleMania and thought that we were gonna have our friendship ruined, well, we got two simple words for you. Screw you. You see, because these ignorant sheep will never understand our friendship.
Bailey, you did not beat me at Mania. Nobody beat me at Mania. It took all of you women to eliminate me. So, Miss Role Model, why don't you be a great example and fight me one-on-one for the title?
I mean, I'm sorry, Tamina. I know you just came back a couple weeks ago from whatever coconut shell you've been hiding in for the past year. Hold me back. But there is a pecking order around here. Yeah. And you just don't step up to the champ.
Gotcha.
And make demands.
You hear me?
That's right, you're lucky I'm holding your back right now, too. Yeah, that's right. But, being the role model that I am, I like to be fair. So, you can have your match with me. If you can beat the standard, the boss, the blueprint, the greatest of all time, my best friend, Sasha Banks. Yeah! She got it!
Challenge accepted. And sis, your bestie just screwed you.